John S. Doyle is here again with what it says in today's newspapers.
After what the papers are calling the shock withdrawal of Mairead McGuinness from the presidential election campaign on health grounds, Fine Gael is completely re-examining its approach to the race, according to the Irish Independent. The party is now scrambling for a way forward, Mary Regan writes, and she quotes sources as saying that all options are being looked at, including contenders who had already withdrawn. According to the Irish Daily Mail, Heather Humphreys has emerged as the preferred candidate in the upper echelons of the party to contest the election for Fine Gael, and she will be approached by the party leadership to run. The Irish Times is more cautious on the question and says that some in the party point to Humphreys as a potentially strong candidate should she change her mind about her previous decision not to run. In an editorial, the paper says that figures like Sean Kelly and Francis Fitzgerald may come back into the frame. In a comment piece in the Irish Examiner, Terry Prone is sympathetic about McGuinness's reason for withdrawing. To see McGuinness work a room is to see a dynamo in action, and being a relatable dynamo takes a lot of energy, she writes. Prone reckons that Mairead McGuinness will now become the best candidate that Fine Gael ever lost. On the other hand, Prone describes a campaign launch yesterday of independent candidate Gareth Sheridan as a self-detonation. He is learning that politics is not for the faint-hearted, she writes. Sheridan's launch gets much coverage elsewhere too. He is given two pages in The Independent, where he is reported as saying that there seemed to be a coordinated attack on his character. John Burns there and Colm Keane in The Times examine the affairs of Sheridan's company Nutriband in detail. Also getting much coverage is what is described as a scathing new report on the Garda Síochána. As Conor Gallagher in The Times puts it, the Crowe report finds that some roads policing Gardaí allegedly park their cars out of sight and avoid work for their entire shift, while others refuse to travel too far from the station to save on lunch money. Shock and law is the Irish Daily Mirror's headline. D-Day in Alaska is how the Independent sums up today's face-to-face meeting between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin to discuss Russia's war on Ukraine. And the front page picture shows a face-to-face hug between UK Premier Keir Starmer and Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky in Downing Street yesterday. A Times headline quotes Trump's preview of the summit when he said he thinks Putin is ready to make a deal ending the war. In a column in The Independent, Steve Holland wonders which version of the US president will show up to the negotiations. The fact that a discussion of Ukraine's future is being held without the presence of that country's president is an obvious caveat ahead of any agreements that might emerge from the discussions, says The Examiner. This weekend's concerts in Dublin by the band Oasis provide the lead story for the Irish Sun and the Irish Daily Star. It will be an epic two-night party, according to one headline in the Star. Fans to neck 250,000 pints in sun-kissed croaker, says another. In features in The Examiner, Ed Parr sets out a history of Oasis in seven Irish gigs, starting with the Tivoli, Dublin, in September 1994, when tickets cost £6.50, the equivalent of €15 today. In The Independent, Aoife Rooney reports on passengers on public transport who have been sharing their horror stories, from porn to puking, as the headline puts it. The Times continues its series about people living next door to such things as the Spire in O'Connell Street, Dublin, and Ireland's largest onshore wind farm. Today, it's the Spanish Arch in Galway. Andrew Hamilton writes that when John Coyle came to live near it in the summer of 1974, with his wife Sally, their neighbours on the long walk were fishermen and coopers, and he used to moor his Galway hooker within sight of his front door. Now the place has been gentrified, but the core is still here, says Mr. Coyle.